There we go. All right. Can't give you guys an opportunity. I'll give you an open door and gone. Can't do that. Chapter 15 says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall make a release. So again, as Moses is bringing to the people the not just the statutes and the things that God has for them, but also just bringing them some instructions and things. And here, talking about slaves, servants, debtors, giving instruction on these things. But he says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor nor of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. And it's kind of neat that he brings here every 7 years, seven being the perfect number, number of completion, number of perfectness. The Lord's release. He calls it the Lord's release. And the Lord, in his perfect release, brings to them every 7 years some hope, which is kind of neat, because later on he's going to say that there's always going to be poor in the land. It's never going to cease. So at least they have a time frame, a fixture that they can hold on to. Because you know how it is with credit cards. It takes 100 years to pay off $100. I don't know how that happens, but it just keeps going and going and going. And there doesn't seem to be any end. But with the Lord, there's always an end to it. That end of servitude. And what a wonderful thing that we can know that we've been released from the debt that we owed. We had a debt we couldn't pay, Scripture tells us. We had a debt that was just too much for us to enter into, that we could never pay it, that we could never come to holiness. And yet he releases us because of what he's done. And especially, what a perfect time of year for this to come in. Here we are at Easter, Good Friday coming, that just shows the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. And what a wonderful thing. And certainly remember your first Easter when you went in and you realized how much God had forgiven you. Boy, what an Easter that was, huh? Just so wonderful and so freeing. And we need to be reminded of that. And he says, I'm going to make a release for you, for all those that are in the land that need to be released. I'm going to release. And this is the manner. Creditors lending. If your neighbors owe you, during that year, they wouldn't have to pay anything. They could be released from it. There was a release of payment so that they could get strengthened up and build up. But he says then in verse 3, but of a foreigner, you can exact it again. So if you're a foreigner, you still owe it, and you're going to keep paying it. But that which is thine with thy brother's hand, you shall release it. So in how it goes along with the gospel, that if we're saved, if we're in that place where we know who Jesus is, if we're in that place where God has released us from the debt that we owed him, that we had a debt that we couldn't pay, he paid it for us, he released us from it. But those that weren't saved still had to pay. Isn't that the same thing that goes on with the judgments? As you look at the judgments in Revelation, the ones that are coming before the great white throne judgment are the ones who didn't have Jesus pay the debt for them, and they had to pay their own debt, or else they couldn't get into heaven. And of course, we know as believers that there's no way we can pay that debt. But the world still thinks that they can pay the debt. Well, my good has outdone my bad, so God should accept me. But he only accepts perfect holiness. And that's where they err, is that they don't know the Scriptures. Because they think that if their good outweighs their bad, then God's got to take them. But what God says, it's either pure holiness, complete holiness, or you don't get in. There's no entering. And of course, you have to go back and remember Genesis, when Noah went in the ark, that the Lord close the door. And can you imagine all the people outside? Well, I was good yesterday, so that should count for something. But the door never opens again. Once it's shut, it's shut. And there's no opening. There's no forgiveness then. It's done. And boy, this is just such a wonderful picture of that, of those that are believers and those that aren't. And certainly a picture that goes all the way through Scripture that we need to have. And then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. So God is going to bless you in the land that God gives you. The Lord is going to be the one who's going to do it. But notice it isn't just a blessing. He's going to greatly bless you.
So does that mean if there's no poor, then they still have to pay and don't get the 7 year off?
Oh, no. They'll have that off. If there's any creditors, ones that owed, then they would still have it off. But because he's going to say later on that there's always going to be poor in the land. So, but the holiness, the picture there is that if everything worked according to Hoyle or according to God, God's better than Hoyle, I guess. If everything went according to God, and his ways went, then there would be no poor in the land. But because of our lust, because of our desires, because of our infidelity, because of our infirmities, there's always going to be poor in the land. And not because God wanted it that way, but that's the way that we have chosen. The Lord is greatly going to bless you in the land that he's given you. And we have to think, well, Lord, you've put me here in this land for such a time as this. Now, how do I act? And certainly all these things are going to apply to us. We aren't bound by the law, but we certainly are bound by principles, not that we have to do, that we get to do. And if we do them, these are going to be the consequences. These are going to be the results of it. And certainly where our heart's going to be with it. You know, do you still hold a grudge for that person that never paid you 20 years ago, the $20 that he owed you? You know, when he bought a dime bag from you and he never paid you back. You know, are you still thinking about him going, if I ever see him again? You know, there's forgiveness in this. And there's holiness and there's truth. And what a wonderful thing that is. But boy, it sure works on your hearts, doesn't it? Lord, what am I holding against anybody? You know, whether I've just met them online and they're arguing with me, whether they got mad at me in traffic, what am I holding against the people that you've put in my path, Lord? Because he wants our hearts to be holy. He says, and we always go, but what about them? You know, we're back to Adam and Eve again. It's the woman you gave me, Lord. She's the one. It's always her fault. It's never my fault. And we keep pointing fingers and we keep going with it. And God says, but I'm working on your heart. Just like Peter, when the Lord told him, you know, as he was looking at John and saying, hey, what about him? He goes, don't worry about him. You worry about you, basically, is what he's saying. I'm going to take care of him. You take care of you. Where's our hearts? You know, we can't keep pointing fingers forever. Because there's going to be one day where it's going to be just us before the Lord. And how are we going to point fingers at anybody when there's nobody else there? You know, it's my sin, Lord. It's my heart that's got to change. It's my direction that has to change. And he always works from the inward out. He never works on the outward in. He always works on the heart to change the beauty of our spirit on the outward. And people can tell when we're phonies. You know, as Joe Foch always says, you know, the world can always tell when there's a baloney meter going off. And it's true, because unbelievers can tell when there's a fake believer in front of them. They know, you don't really mean that. You're not acting like a Christian. And it's just, oh, and your heart just drops. So let the Lord do that work inwardly. And I think the Lord's doing an awesome work in these times that we're in. We're looking at COVID, the end of COVID, because nobody's talking about it anymore, but now we've got a war, and you just wonder what the next thing is going to be. Is it going to be the economic collapse that everybody's talking about? And if that's so, and we go to a new currency, which our president has already ordered one of his henchmen, he's got 200 days to come up with rules and regulations for the cryptocurrency that's coming to the land. Are you ready? Which means if you've done good, you're going to be like China. You get points. If you didn't buy the right food, or if you bought too much gas, you're bad.
And they, the
and they take money out. If you preach the gospel, you're at a zero. You got nothing. Are we ready? Lord, inwardly, how am I going to stay during these times that we're in? And Lord, I can't blame the environment. I can't blame the circumstances for what I've done. Like Adam and Eve. The one pointed to Eve. She pointed to the snake. The snake couldn't point because he doesn't have fingers. We just keep going with it. We can't keep going in that direction, and we don't want to do that because it's not good for us, because we never learn that way. We never grow that way. And God always wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of who he is, not in what we can get, but who he is, because we don't come to God to get blessed. We come to God for forgiveness in a relationship. The blessing is just an extra bonus. And he does bless his people for being obedient. So just ministering to the people that are there. And he says in verse 5, only if you carefully hearken. Not just hearken, but carefully hearken. That means you pay attention to what's going on. Do you pay attention to your word when you get up in the morning? Or is it just, well, I got 20 minutes to read 10 chapters. What did you get? I don't know. I don't even know where I was. All I know is I read my 10 chapters because I got an X next to my thing. Oh, boy. God goes, how about you just read one word and let that minister to you the whole day long? Because sometimes the one word is better than 10 chapters ever will be. Just, oh, Lord, help me. Carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord. Don't hearken to the voice of Putin. Don't hearken to the voice of Fox News. Don't hoiken. There's a new word for you. Don't hearken to anything that's around you, but get rid of those things. Remember when Elijah was in the cave and a huge storm came by, but the Lord wasn't in it. Earthquake came by, the Lord wasn't in it. But the Lord was in the still, small voice, and Elijah hearkened to it. Even though he was running the wrong direction and doing the wrong thing, the Lord was still speaking to him. Did you ever think God's never going to talk to me again because I've done the wrong things? Not true. He will, because he wants to get you back on the right path. That's how important it is. Don't we do that with our kids? You're going the wrong direction. Listen to me. Did you ever say that? I heard it a kabillion times. I never paid attention until later on. And thank goodness my parents were still alive to see a difference. So, carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe, not just to hear, but then to observe all those commandments that he commands us this day, and then to do those things, not just to be hearers only, but doers. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. He's going to be faithful to keep his promises. He's going to be faithful to bring those things to pass. We need to be faithful just to pay attention to him and to observe those things. So if there's going to be any poor man among of one of your brethren within any of the gates of the land which the Lord thy God gives you, don't harden your heart towards him, nor shut up your hand from your poor brother. It says this in Proverbs 11, verse 25. You can write it down and look it up later. But heaviness is in the heart of a heaviness. It isn't that, is it? Yes. Yeah, heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. The Lord is going to be in that place where... I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. That's a good verse too. 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If you give out, if you pour out, then it's going to be poured out unto you. That's a principle God has for us. If we pour out, he's going to pour out. And that's what he wants for us. And that's what he wanted for the people of Israel. They just never apprehended it or grabbed a hold of it. And sad to say, I don't think the church in America is grabbing a hold of those things. I don't think I grab a hold of a lot of those things. I just let them go by. I just, yeah, but Lord, yeah, but. We're full of yeah, buts. I don't think the Lord ever listens to yeah, buts. He just keeps going on his plan. But he says, if you shall open your hand wide unto him, not just open it. You know, did you ever have somebody say, here, you need 10 bucks, and then you try and get it from them, and they're still holding on to it, like, and there's a tug of war over the $10 bill. Open your hand wide so they can take it easily, so they can take it freely. Because as you freely give, as we freely received, we're going to freely give. And that's a hard concept for us to get through. It was hard for the folks that came through the recession. Remember, they would hang on to everything. Remember growing up with my grandparents, just everything. Because you never know when something bad was going to happen and you might need this. We became hoarders. And now we're just hoarders because we don't know what else to do. But open your hand freely and help your neighbor. Help those that are with you. Help those in the body that need help. And you shall not harden your heart. And that's what it is. If you don't open up your hand freely, you're going to harden your heart. Because it's hard because you don't want to give. And aren't you thankful that God wasn't that way, that he hardened his heart and wouldn't give us salvation? Can you imagine if we sat here today and we had no hope? That this was the best it was going to get. Yuck. No wonder suicide is going rampant. Since COVID hit, suicide rate has gone up in double digits, especially among teens. They don't have any guidance. They don't have any direction. They don't have any hope. And the parents, sad to say, are in that place where they have no hope. So how can they give their kids hope? All they can do is just give them, you know, you get what you can and you take what you can and it's all about you. And God says, nah, it's not about you. It's about everybody else but you. Because his ways are completely different than the world's ways. But we're teaching our kids the wrong things. I don't care if they get A's. Do you know Jesus? You can get a D, and if you know Jesus, I'd rather have you teaching me than somebody that gets an A in seminary that has no idea who Jesus is. They may be better educated and use 20-letter words, which I could never figure out, but if they don't know Jesus, there's no power with it. There's no anointing. There's no presence. And therefore, there's no blessing. So don't harden your heart when you get there, when that comes to that place. And we will be having those opportunities come to us. But verse 8, but if you open your hand wide unto him and surely lend unto him sufficient for his need. Notice sufficient for his need, not just give him a little bit. Give him a dime when he needs a dollar. Give it sufficient for his need. And we go, oh, well, why aren't you out there working? Why aren't you doing better? Because sometimes God brings those things into people's lives where they can't, so that we can have an opportunity to bless them. I remember the first time we got blessed by somebody, and it just amazed me. The first time I remember, anyway, we were in the hospital. One of the kids had, their tonsils out or something, and we're in the hospital, and the pastor from the church came up and gave us an envelope with some money in it because somebody in the church gave it to us. What are you doing that for? Who did it? I can't tell you. Why not? Because they didn't want you to know. Really? Amazing. The blessing that comes with it, the encouragement that comes with it, out of the abundance you give. Sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth. Beware, in verse 9, that there be not a thought in your wicked heart. I love how the Lord puts it so bluntly. By the way, you got a wicked heart. So as long as you have a wicked heart, don't let the thoughts come in. Well, Lord, how do I not do that? By keeping your heart and your mind set on who Jesus is and not letting your heart run your life. A heart given over to God is going to bring forth godly thoughts and godly wisdom. But a heart that's ministered to by greed and by want and by desire rather than by love is going to have a whole different set of parameters. It's going to have a whole different set of things that it will do. So don't let those thoughts in your wicked heart run your life. Instead, Jeremiah said it, your heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? We don't even know our heart sometimes until he brings circumstances around us. And all of a sudden we see how we react and we go, where did that come from? That was me years ago. Where did that come from? Evidently, there was a hidden chamber in there somewhere. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door and said, here it is. I go, wow, I didn't know I still had that. I didn't know I still had that anger, that frustration, Lord. Where did that come from?
Again,
in traffic. Yeah. We're not talking about traffic today. Beware that there not be a thought in your wicked heart saying the seventh year, the year of the release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, that thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against you. Look, he's going to listen to the cry of the one that wants to borrow rather than you that has, that's been obedient, that's been going the right way. He's not going to listen to you. He's going to listen to the one who's poor. And really, we think of it the poor in spirit. He listens to the cries of the poor in spirit, doesn't he? That's why it's so good for us to be humble before the Lord. You know, so often we say, stay humble, but we're not a humble people. We don't stay humble too long. The ones that are humbled. And I'm so thankful for brokenness because it does bring humility to us. He says, the wicked heart's going to say, well, this is the seventh year, and I know if I give him money, that within 3 months, since this is late in the year, he's going to have a year off from paying me, and I'm not going to get any money back. And so you don't give to him. You just don't pay attention to him. You see him coming down the street, you duck in another store, and you go a different direction, and you come around and get in your car and take off and go to another store because you don't want them to see you because you know they're going to ask you for money. So you don't give it to him. He says, you got a wicked heart. And he's dealing with us. And we go, oh, Lord, haven't I got enough wrong that you have to keep pointing out other things? And he goes, I'm trying to help you. I'm not doing it to hurt you. I'm doing it to help you. Shine so bright that the world can't handle you. So I'm praying this for all of you because I don't want this test to come. The seventh year, and he says, that's the wickedness of your heart to say that he's not going to pay me. And he said, it's going to be sin unto you. And then we got to come to God anyway for forgiveness. So we'd be better off just having that right heart to start with so that we wouldn't have sin enter in. And he says, you shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give it to him. None of you ever did that, I know. So that you won't be grieved when you give it to him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all your works and in all that you put your hand unto. All. Not just one thing here, one thing there, but all. And don't we want that? I want to get blessed by you, Lord. We cry that out constantly. There's whole churches that their whole focus is, I want God's blessing. Well, first we got to enter into that place where we can get blessed. for the poor shall never cease out of your land. And here it is, because he knows our condition, he knows our state, and he knows what's going to happen. You know, the best would be that there would be no poor among you, like we saw back up in verse 4 there. But the reality is that there's going to be poor with us always. So what are we going to do with them? How are we going to get ministered to by them? And what's going to happen as we go into that? Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11, it says this, and if you draw your soul to the hungry, in other words, you give out your soul, and satisfy the afflicted soul, the ones that are around you that are afflicted. They're afflicted, they're in this place, they're poor, they're hurting. If you draw your soul to them and satisfy them, then your light is going to rise in obscurity, and the darkness shall be as the noonday. In other words, the darkness that would be there that the enemy would want to give to you so that you walk in darkness is going to be gone, because you're doing what God said. And where God is, there's light. There's no darkness at all. And he says, if you draw out and satisfy them, then your light's going to rise. The light that we're a reflection of God's light, our light's going to rise, and there's going to be no darkness. And the Lord shall guide you continually. Isn't that what we want? We cry out, Lord, I need your leading. Well, do what I ask you. No. Oh, okay. And he's going to satisfy your soul. Notice, in drought, there's drought that's going to come to each and every one of our lives. Sometimes it's a drought of the word because we just don't have understanding. Sometimes it's a drought financially or a drought emotionally. Sometimes we just don't feel like we're in that place of walking with the Lord. There's going to be a drought, and he brings those purposely just to show us our need for him and our lack of having him in our everyday life. And he's going to make fat your bones. I already got one. And you shall be like a watered garden. Wouldn't that be great? Did you ever see a garden that somebody never watered? All withered and brown. And it's going to be like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. We want to be those well-watered people that can just bless those that are around us. And so he goes on here in verse 11 there and says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide. Second time, wide. Not just open it up, but open it up wide to your brother so that he knows that he can take it. So that he knows that he can have it. So he knows there's no restrictions with it. Because if you're grabbing a hold of it, he's going to know that there's restrictions with it, that you're going to be angry with him later, and it's better for him not to even touch it and take it. So open your hand wide to your brother, to the poor, to the needy of the land. And sometimes that's with the word. We give them Jesus. Sometimes they don't need money. They need Jesus. Like Judy says when she comes in, she leaves the office, I need my Jesus fix. Sorry, you do your own taxes for an hour, I'm gone. I need my Jesus fix. So open your hand wide to them. And sometimes it is just the word that they need to have. They don't need more money. They don't need more groceries. Sometimes they just need Jesus. But if he's going to lead us, then he's going to give us the understanding to know that they just need to be talked to. They just need to be prayed over. They don't need more stuff. They need more of me. And to just give them that. And if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto you. And notice he doesn't say anything about that it's wrong. He just says it's going to happen. There's going to be slavery. There's always going to be slavery. Everybody's going to be a slave to something, like Bob Dylan said. Everybody's going to serve somebody. We all serve somebody. Who are we going to serve? And if we're serving, we're servants. We're in slavery. We're in bondage to those things. and they be sold unto you, and they serve you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him out free from you, but this is what the masters are supposed to do, don't let him go away empty. Don't just send him out and say, be warm, be filled, see you later, goodbye. You're not getting anything else. I gave you all this time to pay it off, and now you finally paid it off. Get out of here. You're supposed to bless them. Really? But they owed me. I gave them. I know. Give them again. If you can doubly give, your hearts are in a place where God can use you. You shall furnish him liberally. Notice he doesn't say you're just going to furnish him. You give them one stick of furniture. Give them a whole living room, man. Don't just give them one stick of furniture. Give them a whole living room. Give them liberally out of your flock and out of your floor, out of your wine press, out of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee. You shall give unto him. And you shall remember, this is why, because this is going to bring to remembrance of us that we were a bondman in the land of Egypt, in the world. We owed the world, and the world was demanding of us payment. The drugs demand us of us, our whole soul, our whole spirit, our alcoholism demand of us, our health and our wellness. All those things that we enter into servanthood with demand of us. But if you give out of it liberally because you remembered that once you were in bondage and that now you're free, it might help them to know that they're free. So not only are you going to get blessed, but they're going to get blessed. And what's going to happen? Hopefully, if everything goes according to God, they're going to pass the blessing on to somebody else. I got blessed. So here. The dad comes home. There's no food on the table, and he comes home with a whole grocery store and says, here, I got blessed. Who's he blessing? His family. Who are they going to bless? Hey, come on over. We got food. Everybody's going to get blessed. And the Lord thy God redeemed you. Notice it's past tense. He's already redeemed you. And if you're redeemed, then where ought we to be? Therefore, I command thee this day to this thing. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from you, if this slave comes and says, hey, I'm really liking it here. You're a good master. I'm making out like a bandit here. I want to stay. Then this is what you do with him. I'm not going to go away from you because he loves you and loves your house because he is well with you. You know what, folks? That's a picture of who we are with Jesus. As we enter in, Lord, I don't want to go away from you. I don't want to walk away from you because I'm loving it here. I'm blessed. I'm encouraged. I'm strengthened. I don't want to go away from here. Then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door. That sounds kind of dangerous, doesn't it? They say there's not that much pain that goes through there, but I don't know. I'm not going to find out either. I'm not one for earrings. You're going to thrust his ear through. And this is from Exodus also. You're going to thrust his ear through with an awl and then put a gold ring in. And he's going to be your servant forever. Lord, I want to be with you so much that I want to be your servant forever. And I'm going to show the world that I'm yours. Because as they would put that gold ring in, it meant that they were a freed slave, but they were still a slave because they wanted to be. And isn't that what we show the world? Well, Jesus is just your crutch. Yes, he is, and I'm thankful that I have him to lean on because I need a crutch. Your crutch could be alcohol. Your crutch could be drugs. It used to be. But now you're free, but you still have a crutch because you still have a limp because you fought with the Lord and lost. But the world knows now that you have a different crutch, that it's a crutch that can hold you up. The other crutches are never going to hold you up forever. They may hold you up for a season, for a time, but they're going to let go of you after a season. Jesus will never let go of you. And we show the world by those gold earrings, I'm yours, Lord, forever. I want to be yours. I want to stay in your presence. And also you shall do it to your maidservant. You're going to do it likewise. It shall not seem hard unto you when you send him away from you, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee. If this one comes who it wants to be yours, he's going to be worth a double hired servant. You're worth more than somebody who's just there to be a servant because they have to be. And it says in Scripture that we're precious in his sight. He never says that about people of the world, does he? But he says about you and I who have given our hearts to him that we're precious in his sight. You know how precious you are to God. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like a rotten Christian, but you're precious in God's sight because he paid the price for you. And he loves you. You're worth more than just one who's been that servant because he has to be. More than the hired servant, and serving thee these 6 years, the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that you do. Even though you're a servant, he's going to bless you. And all the firstling males that come unto thy herd and of thy flock, you shall sanctify unto the Lord your God, and you shall do no work with the firstling of your bullock, or shear the firstling of thy sheep. Remember, the firstborn of all those are the Lord's. They're given over to the Lord. And you shall eat it before the Lord your God, year by year, in the place where the Lord shall choose thou and thy household. And if there shall be any blemish therein, as it be lame or blind or have any blemish, or you shall not sacrifice it unto the Lord your God, give the Lord your best. Don't give him the part that's blemished. Don't give him the part that's partly finished. Here, Lord, I'm going to give this car to you. I know it doesn't have an engine, but that's okay. He says, I want the very best. I want that Bentley. Give me your best. Because if you can give God your best, then you're not going to withhold anything from him, are you? If God asks you for anything, remember Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain? What was his very best? My son. I'll offer him to you. And what did God offer to you? His firstborn, his only son. He offered him for you. And if he can offer him to us, what can we offer him but our very best? And boy, that gets rough, doesn't it? Lord, I don't feel like I've done that ever. Well, start now. Give me your time in the morning. Give me your very best in the morning. Give me the first fruits of your morning. Give me the first fruits of your prayers. Honor me in it. That's why the Lord's Prayer is all about the Lord to start with, and then we ask for our daily bread, right? But what are we given first? The first fruits. God, you're holy, you're righteous, you're wonderful, you're great. You're giving him the first fruits. You don't come to him, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer. I need $50,000 right now. No honor to the Lord at all. But instead, Lord, I don't need anything. I need you. That's more honor. You're giving him the first fruits, the very best of your whole life. And if you give him the very best, what are you going to give others? You're going to give him the very best too. Because that's all you have. You're filled up with the very best. So how can you not give that out? Unless you're holding something in reserve. This is for the bum that comes up to me and wants something later. I'll give him this. I'll give him a rotten piece of bread. If there's any blemish, don't do it. You eat it within your gates, within the premises of where God is. And we're now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to eat it in front of him. We're going to do in front of him what we will do anywhere. because he's the very best. The unclean and the clean person shall eat alike, as the roebuck or the gazelle as the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood thereof. You shall pour it out upon the ground as water, because the life is in the blood, it tells us. You don't have to hold your place here, but go to Romans 12. You guys know these verses. You've heard these verses all your lives, but so important for us, I think, as we finish up this chapter anyway. Romans chapter 12, right, the first couple of verses. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, I beseech you, I beg of you, I ask of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Notice we can only do it by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You can't present your body a living sacrifice to God without having the mercy of God in your life to do that. The merciful are going to show mercy, it tells us in Scripture, but you can't do it unless first you know the mercies of God, because we don't know what mercy is until we get it in the context of who God is. Present yourself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. God, this is your body. You made it. You formed it. You saved it. You've redeemed it. You've paid the price for it. Lord, it's yours. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not even above and beyond the call of duty. It's just like, really, Lord? And be not conformed to this world. Don't conform yourself to the things of this world, but be changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? Present your bodies to Him. Know His mercy and present yourself to Him. That's what God wants. He wants you. Really? He doesn't want my service? He doesn't need your service. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your gifts. He does all those things in the service that we have just so that we can know our own hearts. But He doesn't need it. He needs you. He wants you. Because He wants fellowship with you. And He's going to have you for eternity. And if you think, if He's going to have you for eternity, just think, doesn't He want you now then? And we think, no, God, you really don't want me. I'm just playing a game. And He goes, no, I really want you. I want you so much, I'm going to send my most precious Son to die for you. And that's what this season is all about, isn't it? Oh, Father, we know we don't deserve anything, but You've given us everything. And we're so thankful, Lord. You were that Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. And as we partake of You, may we just pour out what we've had. We're just so grateful, Father, that You see us as precious in Your eyes, precious in Your sight. And Lord, we're so thankful that You see us that way. We don't always see us that way, but Lord, we're thankful that You do. And we just ask that You just lead us, Lord, as we go from here, and that You would just bless our time as we gather to eat together, to share together, to minister one to another, that You would just be blessed by this gathering, Lord. We just need You so much. And in the world that we're in, Lord, we're looking forward to Your soon return. But Father, should You tarry, may we be a blessing to the world, Lord. May our light shine so much that there's no darkness around us at all, that we're just all in the light of Jesus in our lives, just completely broken for You. As we remember Gideon, Lord, that the enemy wasn't scared, that the enemy wasn't terrified until he broke the clay pot. We're those clay pots, Lord, and inside that light is shining. May we be broken so that light can shine so brightly that the enemy has to flee, Lord, and that You would be glorified. We love You. We thank You. And we just ask for your blessing on our food, on our time, Lord, that you just be with us. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity. And we do ask that you just bless it, Lord, through your precious Son's name. Amen. We sure can.
I've actually got some unsaved relatives, and hopefully this neighbor, I think he might come. So okay. I thought maybe that would be appropriate.
Because you're singing.
Yeah. That's why I sing.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's do that. Well, Father, we